It's now time to consider God's great word, so please would you join with me in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures. We thank you for how special it's been for us to receive your word, written for us, inspired by you through your Spirit. And we ask that you would help us to consider and take in your truth this morning or whenever we're watching this. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be encouraged by your truth and to grow together. And I just thank you for how beautiful your word is, especially for the days that we live in when there's lots of trouble and uncertainty. So we ask for your help now, and we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's just over a year ago when Colin and I were able to travel, and it was a year ago when we went to Israel, to the land of Israel, on a tour. Of course, now you can't travel anywhere. And we were just been going through some of our photos, the many photos you take when you go away like that. And it's been bringing back wonderful memories of our time in Israel, especially in Jerusalem. And when I was looking at our photos, in particular, one thing that really hit me was when I was in Jerusalem, and on this very special day, when I woke up early before the sun had risen, and I decided to go from our hotel to the ancient city of Jerusalem and to walk around the wall. And as I walked around the old wall, past some of the old gates, I then went down the Kidron Valley. And as I started going up, I went past the Garden of Gethsemane, all these incredible places that are mentioned in the Bible. And then I started going up the path that leads up to the top of the Mount of Olives. I couldn't believe that I was walking the very path that Jesus came down so long ago. And I walked up that path and I got to the top of the hill, the Mount of Olives. And then as I got there and I turned to face the west in order to see Jerusalem, a magnificent sunrise occurred. And the ancient city of Jerusalem was lit up by the first rays of the sun. And there, standing in a cold morning, a breeze blowing, I was so moved. I couldn't help but think of the Holy Scriptures and to think that this was a spot that Jesus stood one day. He stood here. This is where he descended from into the city of Jerusalem down the Kidron Valley. And I began to tear up and I began to think of this momentous event when Jesus came into this old city. And to think that he came and to think that we call this a great event, the triumphal entry, as recorded in the Holy Scriptures. And this morning I want us to look at this, or not, maybe not this morning, but whenever you're watching this, I want to explore with you this incredible event that's recorded in the Gospels in regard to the triumphal entry. And at the end of this message, I also want to consider another triumphal entry that hasn't happened yet. So if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn to Luke's Gospel. And we're going to be looking at the triumphal entry from Luke's Gospel. It's in Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to start by reading to you verses 28 to 35. So Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 28. After Jesus had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came about that when he approached Bethphage and Bethany, near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, in which as you enter, you will find a colt. It will be tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' thus shall you speak, 'The Lord has need of it.'" Those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And then they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their garments on the colt and put Jesus on it. The first thing that I want to highlight from this passage with you is those words in the beginning of verse 28. After he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As I read those words, it just dawns on me how Jesus was so determined to go to Jerusalem. He knew all things. He knew that 5 days later, this very city would put him to death. He would be crucified and suffer the most horrendous agony, physically and spiritually. But look at his determination. He was going up to Jerusalem. And when he came to the top of the Mount of Olives, that's what he was prepared to do, to go into that ancient city, knowing full well what would happen to him. And that speaks a lot to my soul. It speaks a lot in regard to what Jesus was prepared to do, because we know that he came into Jerusalem, he chose to go to Jerusalem, knowing full well what would happen to him, because he was doing this for me and for you. He was going to Jerusalem to die for us, to give up his life as a ransom for many, that on that cross he would be bearing our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made right with God, so that we could have eternal life. That's why Jesus was determined to go into Jerusalem on that very day we call the Triumphal Entry Day. Wow, what an amazing Saviour we have. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, what it was all about. It says there in 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. But also I want to consider some other things about Jesus. I love to see Jesus' character in this story. And one of the things that I want to highlight to you is also how he knows all things. And I can only imagine the disciples again being blown away by how much knowledge Jesus has. Because they were told to go to a village where they would find a donkey's colt tied there, and that they were to take that donkey's colt, but they would be questioned by the owners. But if they said these words, "The Lord has need of it," then the owners would release that donkey's colt. And it's exactly what happened. And doesn't it remind us of Jesus who knows all things? He truly is the one who is God's Son. He truly is God himself. He knows everything. Not only did he know about that village and the donkey's colt, the very colt that he would ride on into Jerusalem, but he knew everything about what he would endure in that ancient city. And he even knows everything about us. I know that might be a little bit scary when we take that in, but I love the fact that Jesus knows everything about you and I, and he views us with love, don't forget. It's so good that he knows our joys and our sorrows. He knows our dark times and our good times. So good to know a Saviour who knows us so well and continues to embrace us. One of the verses in the Bible that highlight how much he knows about us and everybody is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. It says there, "There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do." And I'm so glad that Jesus is fully aware of everything that we are going through at the moment in this crisis, in this upheaval, in this great shaking of the world where our foundations are being shaken. He knows everything, and we're able to turn to him and find comfort. But let me also make mention of something else about Jesus, and it's to do with how he entered Jerusalem. Though he be God's Son, though he be the praise of the angels of heaven, though he be the King of kings and the Lord of lords, this passage tells me that he came humbly into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey's colt. Just as that ancient prophecy said, written about this event some 550 years before it happened. This prophecy is found in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Have a look at this prophecy from Zechariah chapter 9. And reading verse 9, we read these words. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." I go, wow, written 550 years before this event. Look at the accuracy of that prophecy. Wow, it's amazing. And look at the emphasis. It speaks there of Jesus' humility and gentleness in coming into Jerusalem. He didn't come in on a chariot. He didn't come into the city on a great white steed. He didn't come with a vast army behind him. He came on a donkey's colt. He deliberately chose to come, even though he'd be the great king. He deliberately chose to come humbly and gently, because he was coming to give his life up for us. He was coming to save us from our sins. He was coming for a very different purpose to how most people understood it. Wow. And he was coming, it says in that prophecy, endowed with salvation. He was coming to make salvation possible for any of us who trust in him and believe in him. Let me now read to you the rest of the words of the account in Luke's Gospel in regard to the triumphal entry. I'm going to read from Luke 19, verses 36 to 38. As Jesus was going, they were spreading their garments in the road. And as he was now approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." We have a picture of honour and praise. First thing I'd like to mention from that passage is how the people, the crowd around Jesus as he came into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt, the people are wanting to honour Jesus. And they're honouring Jesus the Middle Eastern style way. The red carpet treatment, Middle Eastern style. And what that meant is they took their coats off and put their coats along the path. And John's Gospel says they cut down palm branches and put them on the path as well. This was red carpet treatment, Middle Eastern style. And so that was honouring Jesus. By the way, the palm branches is why we also call this Sunday Palm Sunday. But look also what is happening. The people are praising Jesus. They're saying such great words. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But you know, most of these people, if not all the people, had no idea what Jesus was really doing. Many of them thought that Jesus would be the King, the Son of David, who would come into Jerusalem and drive out the enemies of the Jewish people, the Romans. But that's not why Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. He was coming into Jerusalem to save us from our sins, to set us free from Satan, and to set us free from the sentence of death. And friends, if the people were praising Jesus, then how much more we should be praising Jesus if we have any understanding of what he was willing to do for us. How he was going into that city to die for us. How our praises should be unending. Hallelujah to Jesus for what he has done for us. When I think of the praises that we deserve to give to him who came into that city to save us from the greatest enemy of all, the sentence of eternal death because of our sins, I think of those great words found in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honour and glory and blessing." And why is he worthy of all this praise from all creation and especially from us who have been redeemed by his blood? It tells us in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. In the latter part of that verse it says, "For you, Lord, were slain and purchased for God with your blood men and women from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Praise be to Jesus for how he willingly came into Jerusalem so humbly and gently to give up his life as a ransom for us all so that we can be saved if we trust in him and look to him. But now, I'm going to look at another triumphal entry. It's just a few chapters over in Luke's Gospel, in Luke chapter 21. And it's where Jesus teaches us, before he is arrested and crucified, he teaches us about another triumphal entry. And it's to do with his glorious return. Is this not going to be a triumphal entry? The greatest triumphal entry of all. He'll be not riding on a donkey's colt next time. No, he'll be riding on the clouds. He'll not be coming humbly and gently, but with blinding power and great glory. And he won't just be coming for people in Jerusalem to see him. He'll be coming and all the world will behold him. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him, even so, amen." Well, what a day when Jesus leaves his Father's throne at the Father's command and will come and make a spectacular second entry into our world. So different to his entry into Jerusalem and so different to his entry into this world when he was first born as a human. This day is referred to the Lord's Day, or the Second Coming. We have many titles for it. And this day is something that is meant to be something we live for and look forward to if we are his, if we believe and trust in Jesus. For on this day, this great day when he returns, when he enters this world this time, we are told what's going to happen. We are told that besides the angels of God coming with Jesus, he is also going to be bringing back with him those who have died in Christ. That is our friends and our loved ones who did trust in Jesus. They're going to be coming back with Jesus. And on that day, he will use his awesome power to resurrect our dead bodies and cause them to come alive again. And their eternal soul will be reunited with a glorious eternal body. And if we happen to be here when Jesus returns, if we haven't died yet, then something's pretty special going to happen for us if we're still here when he returns. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, it tells us that we will be changed as we ascend to Jesus. We'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. These physical bodies that wear out will be transformed into his glorious body in the sense of being eternal and never, never, ever dying again. What a day this is. This is a day that Christians are meant to look forward to with great anticipation. Christ is coming, and on that day, our salvation will be completed, and we shall forever be with the Lord, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. And we will be safe in the arms of Jesus on that day. But I've got to tell you that everyone who has not looked to Jesus to be their Saviour, who have not come to trust in Jesus and give their life to him, on that day they shall face the wrath of God, and Jesus will be the one who will execute that. And if we hold to these truths, then we need to remember it's so important that we are ready for this great day. Are you ready? And are you looking forward to Christ's return if you are ready? And is this day near? How do you read the times that we live in? It says in Luke chapter 21, where Jesus taught about his glorious return, what would happen before he came back. And we read of some really interesting things that I believe we can tie to the times that we live in. Again, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 21. I'm going to read to you verse 11 first of all. Luke chapter 21 and verse 11. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, who willingly and lovingly shared these words with us so that we might know what to expect before he came back. And Luke chapter 21 verse 11 says, "There will be great earthquakes, and in various places plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven." I want to highlight just one word in that verse, the word plagues. In the Bible, plagues or pestilences, it means the same thing, are things that devastate people and kill people. I hope you realize that COVID-19 would fit under that category. That means Jesus is foretelling us about how these plagues or pestilences will come upon this earth in the last days. And I look back at our last 100 years, and we've had the Spanish flu in 1920 and lots of different flus, and now we've got a one that is just devastating that's come upon this world. Jesus spoke about these things. But now let's turn to Luke 21, and I would like to read with you verses 25 and 26. Luke 21, starting at verse 25. Jesus goes on to say, "There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and its waves." And when I read that, I'm thinking of the tsunamis, like the tsunami we had that wiped out so many people in Indonesia, and other tsunamis like in Japan. Jesus mentions these signs as a sign. What about verse 26? It says, "And men and women will faint from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." When I look at that verse, I can't help but think, well, this is what I'm seeing. This world is being shaken like never before. And not only that, there is fear. We have a time never seen before of great fear over the whole earth. It's an incredible time. Jesus is telling us that these are the markers that will happen before he returns. So if you would ask me, do I think that Jesus' return is near? I'm telling you, I'm saying yes. I believe his return is nearer than we realize. He's just around the corner. And verse 27 of Luke 21 tells us that after reading about the ways of the sea and about the fear upon people, verse 27 says, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." We are living in very special days. These are the days that Jesus spoke about, I believe. These are the days where we need to be guarding our hearts from speaking like non-Christians do. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, I hear Christians speaking like this. It says there, these words, people will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since our forefathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation." But friends, I reckon there are many reasons why we should hold to the truth. I believe that Jesus' return is imminent. The second great triumphal entry is about to happen. And if that is the case, then we need to make sure we truly are ready. And how does anyone get ready? How do I get ready? How do you get ready? It's as simple as this. It's coming to Jesus on his terms. We must repent of our sins. We must turn away from living for self and living for sin and living for worldly things. And we need to receive him as our Saviour and as our Lord. We need to do that. Only people who do that are ready. And if we are ready, then this is a day to rejoice and get excited about. In Luke chapter 21, verse 28, Jesus finishes this section by saying these words to those who believe in him. He says, "But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, for the day of your redemption is drawing near." So we're called by Jesus to actually not be full of fear, but to be a rejoicing people. And of course, we should also understand the importance of redeeming this time we're living in, doing everything we can to rescue, to help rescue people who are going to perish unless they turn to Jesus. So we've looked at two triumphal entries. One was pretty awesome, as Jesus went down the Mount of Olives into the city of Jerusalem to die for us. And the next one is still to come, but we don't believe it's too far away. May you be ready. And if you're ready, may you be rejoicing and using your time for God's glory and helping other people come to love him too. I'd like to now close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus. We also want to thank you for the triumphal entry, just comprehending what an awesome Saviour Jesus is, to think that he came so humbly and so gently into that city of Jerusalem, knowing full well that he would be taken and beaten and mocked and ridiculed and crucified to a cross. But we know that he was glad to come and do that, to enter that city of old, because he was going to die for us in order to make salvation possible. And Lord, for us who have come to trust in Jesus, we are so glad and thankful for your Son's obedience and his love for us. But Lord, we also know in Scripture that there is another coming of Jesus, another great triumphal entry, and many people in our world are not ready. Lord, if we're ready, please would you help us to encourage the people around us to turn to Jesus and trust in him. Help us to be settled in our state. Help us to be knowing your peace. Help us to be in a place of strength where we can help other people come to love your Son. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for how we can read your holy scriptures. Please would you encourage us and help us wherever we are at with you. And we ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us with Church Online. I just want to highlight to you that we will be having a Good Friday service on the internet where you can tune in and Rod will be preaching and we'll be having communion as well. And then we'll have Easter Sunday when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And I invite you again on Sunday morning or whenever you can to come and tune into Church Online and be blessed by a service as we come to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. This is a very special time for us to reflect upon Christ's amazing death and his awesome resurrection, what he has accomplished for us. So I invite you to come and enjoy in these services during the week. Thank you.